at the hands of the wicked, and if I suffer those things, and I might be able to take a different perspective on it. I just might. What do they make you suffer? You know, you think about the things they've done to people, awful things people have done to each other over time. And when men do horrible things to you, it can change you. It can make you see things from a different perspective. We wait patiently through all the troubles, through all the tribulation, for that end. We keep the commandments of God so that we may be found faultless on that day. Like I said, these Adventists and other groups, you know, they believe in keeping the Ten Commandments and the Sabbath, even though they keep them not. You know, they don't keep the Sabbath properly. They don't keep the law properly. Christ said, "Not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law till all be fulfilled." That means if you're going to keep the law, you've got to keep all of it. He said nothing is going to be passed. So that means you need to wear phylacteries. You got to have fringes on your garments. You better not eat pork. And I know a lot of people follow that law. Well, you might as well follow the rest of them too. Do not round the corner of your beard. There's a lot of laws. A lot of stuff you need to do beyond even what I've said. These are all commandments of God, not just the Ten Commandments. If it wanted to say the Ten Commandments, it would say the Ten Commandments. But God has given all kinds of commandments. And all commandments have a common thread. All commandments do is define what's right. They define what God has said we must do. But those commandments, the law, is either passed away or it isn't. That's what Jesus taught. Not one jot, you know, think not I am come to destroy the law. I am not come to destroy, but fulfill. And he did fulfill. He said, I came to fulfill. And you know what? He did. And in that he fulfilled the law. The law as it was is passed away, and a new law has been instituted with a new covenant. And the new law is a law of Christ. You can read all about it in the New Testament. There, and I'll tell you what about the law of Christ compared to the Old Testament. The law of Christ is much more strict. The commandments are much more difficult. In the old law, you know, they sought to be justified by you know, thou shalt not commit adultery. But they say, well, you can look after a woman. That's all right because you're not committing adultery. Look, but don't touch. Jesus says, no, you're not righteous. You got to be holy. You got to go beyond just the outward keeping. You got to be pure in your heart. Law didn't require all the purity. I mean, you could, through the letter of the law, go about and have a righteous. Now, I don't think a lot of Christian groups that try to keep the law would say, oh, we want to do a letter of the law. They would probably say, oh, no, no, no. We believe in keeping it, you know, as Christ would say. And that's fine. But the thing is, you can't just pick and choose, though, and just say, oh, just the ten. And the Ten Commandments, even applied spiritually, are still insufficient for righteousness. So if they are insufficient, why even bother? You know, in the law of Christ, it says, let no man judge you in meat or in drink or in the respect of an holy day or of the Sabbath days. That's the thing that annoys me, because whenever the commandments come up, certain people always get in on the Ten Commandments. Oh, the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments. We got to keep the Ten Commandments. But I say the Ten Commandments are passed away. They're done away, according to Paul in the book of Corinthians. And if you want to read about that, you can, or if you want to learn more about that, you should look at my study on 2 Corinthians chapter 3, which covers in detail how that is so. The commandments in the New Testament are much more strict, much less letter-oriented, and more spiritual. Paul says, hey, one man honors one day above another, one man honors every day alike. Let every man be persuaded in his own mind. There's also liberty in the law of Christ, where we can have our conscience tell us, hey, whether we should worship God on a particular day, or if we should just honor every day and just enter into the rest of Christ on an everyday basis and not have any special Sabbath day, which is the way I do it. It says, let no man judge you in regard to the Sabbath days. Yet they will sit there and judge you about the Sabbath day. In direct violation of the law of Christ. Let no man judge you in regards to the Sabbath days. Hey, I honor every day alike. Don't judge me. It's not your place. But there are other things in the law of Christ, you know, they're just the same as the law. You know, it's still not good to murder, but it's also not good to hate. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. So it goes beyond what the old law required. And that's why it's insufficient for righteousness, the old commandments. It's insufficient. Don't look to the Ten Commandments. And plus, by keeping those things, you're basically sort of falling out of faith, because you're supposed to be made righteous by faith, not by a list of what you should do and not do. And so much of the Ten Commandments is just too easy to sort of blow off. It's sort of like, yes, love God with all your heart, honor your father and your mother, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, you know, keep the Sabbath day. And they think, oh, well, now we're righteous? Well, they know they got to do more. And so if you know you got to do more, why even bother? Why not just go with the law as the Bible teaches it in the New Testament? Well, they might have something to say or to argue about that, but I don't care. I want to mention it. The faith of Jesus. We talked a lot about that. Keeping faith with the true Christ. It's not just about
keeping these carnal commandments.
It's about living a life lived in faith, whereby we may walk with God and become the sons of God according to the promises. And that means pursuing certain things. And it ought to be in our heart to do so. Or at least when we hear the preaching of it, we say, yeah, that's for us. That's for me. That's what I want to do. I want to pursue the righteousness of God, which is in Christ by the promises. That's for me. That gets excited. I love when I hear from people, they say, you know, the things you say inspire me. I get excited when I hear those things. Good. You should be excited. Don't let anyone discourage you. Oh, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. You can't be perfect. Look it. I'm not the one who says you are. I mean, well, you will be, actually. You will be perfect. But I'm not the one who says he's perfect, either. It's they who say, if you say, I don't need to be perfect, then you basically are saying you are perfect. Because perfect just means complete. You got to sort of complete everything. Don't you want to complete your faith? You just want to just leave it halfway done? Don't you want to complete your walk? Don't you want to perfect holiness? Why leave holiness incomplete? Well, that's not possible, Paul. Well, I don't know. This is with God, all things are possible. I don't know why. You know, and especially you consider the fact that he tells us to do this. So now you're saying to me, what he told me to do is impossible? Go and sin no more. Impossible. I know it's impossible, but he said to do it. So I'm going to just take his word for it, despite the fact that I know it's not possible. Just like I know it's not possible to walk on water. It's not possible to turn 5 loaves and 2 fishes into enough to feed a multitude. It is impossible to raise the dead. It is impossible for a man born blind to receive his sight. There are many impossible things which God says he can do. Why is this the one thing that people just don't accept?